On June 16th, members of the Assembly of Canonical Orthodox Bishops of the United States of America will travel to Istanbul. We've invited the Very Reverend Dr. Nathaniel Simeonidis, the Director of the Department of Inter-Orthodox, Ecumenical, and Interfaith Relations of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America, to tell us more about this trip. Welcome, Father Nathaniel.
Thank you, Father Chris. Thank you, and greetings to all your listeners.
Thank you. You know, traditionally, the bishops under His All Holiness Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew are assigned for a year in rotation to travel to the Fanar for monthly meetings. Why is this gathering different? I think it'll help our listeners understand better the structure of the church.
Sure. Well, the meeting that you're referring to is the meeting of the Holy Synod of the Ecumenical Patriarchate. That body of hierarchs meets once a month. And it's comprised of hierarchs from all over the world that are directly under the Ecumenical Patriarchate. They meet to discuss and address issues that are related to not only the Ecumenical Patriarchate and the churches under the Ecumenical Patriarchate, but in many instances, global orthodoxy. So that is the actual synod of the Ecumenical Patriarchate. And as you said, there are times when members from our Holy Eparchial Synod participate in the Holy Synod. The meeting that will occur on June 16th is a little bit different in that His All Holiness is going to be meeting and receiving the members of the Executive Committee of the Assembly of Canonical Orthodox Bishops of the USA. And the Assembly of Bishops, for those who are not aware of what that is a body of Orthodox hierarchs of various jurisdictions and under various patriarchates from around the world. In the United States, there are 55 canonical Orthodox bishops that are members of this Assembly of Bishops. And His All Holiness will be receiving the Executive Committee. So it's not necessarily a synod, which will meet with His All Holiness, but it's the Executive Committee of our Assembly of Bishops.
All right, let's look at that Executive Committee. What is it? Who's it made up of?
From the members of the Executive Committee, we have confirmation from all but one bishop. We have His Eminence Archbishop Demetrius attending, Bishop John from Moscow, Bishop Longin from Serbia, Archbishop Nikolai from Romania. Bulgaria and Georgia are also going to be present, as well as we have and we expect our Secretary Bishop Basil and Metropolitan Anthony, our treasurer. We will also have, His All Holiness has invited Metropolitan Tikhon of the OCA, even though he is not a permanent member of the Executive Committee. He has been invited because he represents a presence that is a member of the Assembly of Bishops, and also Bishop Maxim of the Serbians will be attending as the coordinator of committees so that he can give us further insight into the work of the committees. As of now, the one hierarch who has not been able to confirm his availability is Metropolitan Joseph of the Antiochians, who has said that he will be overseas, most likely in the Middle East and Lebanon, and we're hoping that he will be able to join the rest of his brothers in Constantinople, as the presence of Antioch is very important. If, of course, His Eminence is unable to attend, he's fortunate, or the Antiochians are fortunate, in that Bishop Basil will be present in his capacity as secretary of the assembly, and he'll be able to provide feedback and insight into the mind and the position of the Antiochians during that meeting.
You know, for those of us who may not have the full picture of the church, you just named all of the heads of the churches in Orthodoxy in America, and frankly, probably around the world too. That's a very powerful statement when the Ecumenical Patriarch calls these individuals representing these churches to come together for the future. I wonder if you could speak to the magnitude of what's happening here. I mean, what is the purpose of this meeting?
Well, yes, I think you're right that this is a very important meeting. It actually, if I can give you some background, it began, the idea of meeting with His All Holiness started last year during the fifth meeting of the Assembly of Bishops, when His All Holiness addressed the members during the annual meeting via a video message, really encouraging all the hierarchs to kind of overcome a sense of individualism and division and to proceed to a sense of unity and cooperation, and not just in words and in theory, but in practice. So after the video was viewed, and actually was viewed twice, many of the bishops were enthused and thought that it might be a good idea for us, for them to meet with His All Holiness. So His Eminence Archbishop Demetrius put in a request to see if this type of meeting were possible, and of course His All Holiness was very, very happy to receive the hierarchs. And so the purpose of this meeting, I think, and its magnitude can't be kind of overstated enough. The bishops will be meeting for the first time, this executive committee will be meeting for the first time with His All Holiness, who will chair the Holy and Great Council in 2016. And one of the issues that will be addressed, hopefully, during that Holy and Great Council in Constantinople is the diaspora, the so-called diaspora. So the hierarchs hope to be able to present to His All Holiness the work of our assembly, to discuss with him our achievements, some of the struggles, some of the difficulties and challenges that we've encountered, and to kind of listen to His All Holiness and to also listen to Metropolitan John Zizulis of Pergamon, who will also be present at the meeting, who also chairs the special preparatory committee for the Holy and Great Council. So the hope is for us to provide His All Holiness and Metropolitan John with the work of the assembly so far, and also to hear from them as to kind of what the future may hold for Orthodoxy here in the United States in light of the Holy and Great Council. I don't know if you're aware, but the documents of the assembly, the constitution and the Chambezi documents, the so-called Chambezi documents, state that the assemblies of bishops around the world would dissolve once there is a convening of the Holy and Great Council. So the hierarchs are concerned. They want to see how we might be able to continue to work together in the future, to see what it is that the patriarch could encourage to enhance the work here, and to see what the input we could offer the Holy and Great Council if and when it discusses the Holy Diaspora.
Well, this council that we've been hearing about, I heard about it in the 70s and the 80s when I was at the seminary in School of Theology in college. Mm-hmm. And I think it starts back to the 60s when this discussion was happening. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes, I mean, officially they have formal discussions and work around the idea of a Holy and Great Council, which many kind of believe that began, the idea of a Holy and Great Council began in the 20s. But in the 60s, you kind of have a meeting of the special preconciliar meetings to start looking at the topics that might be addressed at the Holy and Great Council. But so yes, I mean, really officially, this Holy and Great Council has been planned since the 60s, since you were a student. Yeah.
Well, then let's go to, we have this meeting coming up in June, but then let's look to the Great Council meeting in 2016. Who would attend that council?
Well, the hierarchs, the primates of the Orthodox, local Orthodox churches at the Synaxis at the Ecumenical Patriarchate last year agreed that all of the recognized autocephalous churches, globally recognized autocephalous churches, would attend and would be allowed to bring up to 24 members for each of the local churches. So, for example, the Ecumenical Patriarchate would have the ability to invite 24 of its own hierarchs to be part of its delegation. It's the church representation. The Church of Alexandria would have 24, Antioch would have 24, Jerusalem would have 24, and so on and so forth. Those churches that do not have 24 bishops, there are some autocephalous churches that do not have 24 hierarchs, they would invite as many as they can. And to keep any one particular church from having an unfair advantage over the voting process, the voting will take place via a manner of consensus. So the bishops would have to vote according to consensus standards, not by majority, so that each church can be well represented, okay, even those that don't have 24 members.
And why the number 24? I'm curious. Do we know?
I don't know. I wasn't part of the original planning. Mm-hmm. It could just be a number, a good-sized number to have each church invite a large enough number of hierarchs to make this a significant council, mm-hmm, but also to have various perspectives, enough variety in the room.
Well, many of us will recall from our studying of the Orthodox Christian Church the ecumenical councils. And I would imagine that, you know, we've used this term Great and Holy Council. We haven't used the term Ecumenical Council. Can we help our listeners understand why?
Yeah, well, as we know, students of theology and history, church history, know that there are seven recognized ecumenical councils in the Orthodox Church. And we are not calling this council an ecumenical council, as you noted. And really, none of these, even the ecumenical councils, were not called an ecumenical council when they convened. They were called a council. They were called a holy council, a great council, when they first convened. And following the council, once it concluded its deliberations, after it came out with new canons and decisions, those years following the council would determine whether that council was received ultimately by the church as an ecumenical council. And it usually took a subsequent council, a great council, to go back, look at the decisions of the preceding council, accept the decisions, and to then formally announce it as an ecumenical council. So it requires a process. And right now, this council would never really be called an ecumenical council before it even convenes. Mm-hmm. It would need something else to occur. As I stated, it needs to be received by the mind of the church in the minds and the thinking of its faithful. But also, it would take another council to convene and to look at what went on, what was decided, and to declare it as an ecumenical council.
These are very exciting times, I believe, in the world of the Orthodox Christian world and Christianity in general. We have, of course, Christians worldwide who are under attack. We saw this year, last year really, the meeting of Pope Francis and Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew on two occasions, representing literally 20% of the world's population faith base. And now we have a very, very exciting meeting of this great council. What can we do, Father Nathaniel, we the listeners, we the faithful, the priests, what can we do to help this situation, to bring it closer and to make it more fruitful?
That's a very good question, and I think it's an important question. It's important to note that although we're talking about an assembly of bishops, okay, and this is an assembly of bishops. There are no other members of this body other than the hierarchs. Notwithstanding that, it's important that the clergy, the priests, deacons, and the laity know that ultimately we are all part of the body of Christ. We're all members of the church, and that the clergy and the laity, along with the hierarchs, are necessary, are needed. And your voices are needed, your prayers, of course, are needed. All of our prayers are needed. The hierarchs need to hear from us. We need to continue to encourage them to continue the exercise of Orthodox collaboration and we as we say unity, that when it seems difficult or almost impossible, that you know we have to give them that encouragement to be present and active in the overall process. So the clergy and the laity, I mean, we have I would say we can say we are the backbone when things get difficult. We must remember that we have to encourage our hierarchs and to give them strength through prayer, but also through ideas and you know, advice and support whenever possible, in, of course, a very respectful way.
God bless you, Father Nathaniel. We wish you and, of course, the Blessed Hierarchs a safe trip, and you will certainly be in our prayers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father Chris. Thank you, and to all your listeners, I thank you very much.